ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्. So as he said in the previous day, we'll initially discuss in brief about Devi, about that Devi who is propounded in the Saundarya Lahari and Lalita Sahasranama. So Lalita Sahasranama is very popular. I don't know whether you have seen the photo of Tripura Sundari. There is a beautiful Tripura Sundari photo which you can get from Chennai. So that depicts as to what is the Devi's form and how she is. So that form Devi has is sitting over a, we can call a, what to call, not a bed but a cot, we can say a cot. So she is sitting on a cot which has four legs, as is the case with any cot, and she is sitting with one leg, Ardha Padmasana. In a way, Ardha Padmasana, one leg below, one leg parallel to the legs of the cot, and the other one folded, kept over her thigh. And she has over in four, in her, she has four hands. In her four hands, in one of the hands, she has Raga Swarupa Pashadhyaya. Raga Swarupa Pashadhyaya. Pasha means rope. Raga Swarupam, that rope which denotes Pasham or Ragam, showing that Devi is controlling Ragam. And the second one is Krodha Ankara Kushojvala. Krodha Ankara Kushojvala. So Ankusham, Ankusha, Ujvala Ankusham, shining Ankusham. Ankusham is a form of weapon like sword and other things. So she has Ankusham which denotes Krodham. And Manu Rupekshu Kodanda, she has the bow, that bow which is made of sugar cane, and that denotes the mind. Panchatanmatra Sayaka, she has the arrows made of flowers, and that denotes the Panchatanmatra, five essence of Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham, which are the basis for the Panchabhutas, which which are the basis for whatever we see in the world, whatever is an object. So these four hands which denote Ragam, Krodham, Manaha and Panchatanmatra, that denotes that Devi is controlling all those. So if a person wants to overcome something, so let's say a person wants to get rid of Ragam, so how should he do that? He should be devoted to Devi. When he is devoted to Devi, Devi will catch him with the Raga Pasham, that rope of Ragam, rope denoting Ragam. That means we will have more and more Ragam towards Devi. Ragam towards Devi will lead us to that state wherein we see the Devi as pervading the world. Such a Ragam is always good. So Tonunnadagil Akilam Jnanidannavali Toneename Varada Narayanaya Nama. Eluthachan, one of the most popular, most famous and spiritual writer in Malayalam, he wrote a work called Harinama Kirtanam, where he says that, O Lord, I shouldn't have any ego, but let's say I have an ego, then Akilam Jnanidannavali Toneename Varada Narayana. If I should have an ego sense, then let that ego sense be that the entire world is mine. That means considering, when we consider Devi as pervading the entire world and we are part of Devi, that means the entire world is us. So that means there is no ragadvesham. Ragadvesham comes when we consider ourselves as, consider some people as my and some people as not my. So some people are our people and some people are whom we don't even know. So that is avoided. So when a person gains, so Narada also says in the Narada Bhakti Sutram that Tadarpita Akila Acharaha San Tas Kama Krodadikam Tasmin Eva Karaniyam. In the fourth chapter of Narada Bhakti Sutra, he says Tadarpita Akila Acharaha San. After having offered all activities unto Ishvara, Kama Krodha Adhikam, Kama Krodha etc. Tasmin Eva Karaniyam. Kama Krodha Adhikam should be had, should be developed towards Ishvara. So the Bhavam, Krodha Bhavam that a person has with Dvesha Bhavam is what Kamsa and other Asuras had, and they were liberated because of that. So if Ragam Dvesham is required, Kama Krodham is required, then that has to be towards Devi. So that means Devi will take care of us. So these four hands and the equipments denote that Devi, if we surrender to Devi, if we have those emotions towards Devi, then we will be liberated. So either we have to surrender completely and be devoid of Raga Dvesham etc. If we are not able to get rid of Raga Dvesham, then be attached to Ishvara, that will help us. So Sri Ramakrishna always used to tell, once one of his disciples, main disciples, he went to him and told, Oh Deva, I am not able to control my sexual desires. I am somehow getting them. So how to control them? How to get rid of them? So Sri Ramakrishna said, you can never get rid of a desire. You can only elevate the desire. So if you are having sexual desire, elevate it. Elevate it by having a desire towards Ishvara. Have one desire replaces another desire. And finally, when we have desire towards, that means, oh, if that is the case, then why can't I have desire towards money or something which is good? Because any desire that is towards worldly entities, that is towards the world, that is related to the world, will not help us in liberation. It will only make us bonded again and again. But when we are attached, when we have Raga Dvesham towards Ishvara, that will ensure that we get out of Raga Dvesham. So it is that dream lion which will make us come out of dream, which will make us get up from the dream world. So that is what denotes, like, so those four hands, it denotes that Devi controls each of these. Either when we offer everything onto Devi, when we have Raga Dvesham onto Devi, Raga Dvesham with respect to Devi, when our mind is focused on Devi, when the Panchat and Matras, when the Indriyas go for the Vishayam, and that Vishayam is none other than Devi, then we'll be liberated from the bondage of Samsara. So that is what Devi has in her hands. And then, what is the Devi made up of? How is the hierarchy? Any system that has got to do with Saguna Brahman, unlike Advaita Vedanta, because Advaita Vedanta believes in Nirguna Parabrahman. So any system which is based on Saguna Parabrahman, there needs to be a hierarchy. So Lalitasahasranama itself says beautifully. So the four legs of Devi's cot, that cot in which Devi is sitting, are Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva and Ishwaraha, the fourth person called Ishwara. So the Lalitasahasranama quotation that explains this beautifully is Pancha Brahma Sanai Namaha. Pancha Brahma Sanai Namaha. That Devi whose asanam is Pancha Brahma. Pancha Brahma means five gods. Who are they? Srishti Kartre Namaha. Brahma Rupai Namaha, Srishti Kartrai Namaha, that person who does the action of Srishti. And who is that? Brahma Rupai Namaha, Brahma Rupa, Brahma, the Trinity, Brahma, Brahma of the Trinity. Goptriya Namaha, Goptriya means protection, who does protection, who is that? Vishnu Rupai Namaha, that is the Vishnu. So the first leg is Brahma who does Srishti, second is Vishnu who does protection. Samharinye Namaha. So Goptre Namaha, Govinda Rupinye Namaha. So it's not Vishnu Rupaya Namaha, Govinda Rupinye Namaha. Samharinye Namaha. The third leg is the person who does Samharam, who does destruction. Rudra Rupai Namaha. He is Rudra. Rudra is one of the Trinity. So Shiva, sorry, Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra. And the fourth person is Tirodhana Kadiye Namaha, Ishwariye Namaha. So when Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra merge together, then all of them vanish. So that vanishing, that person who becomes invisible, who vanishes when these three trinities merge, he is called Ishvara. So Tirodhana Kadiye Namaha, Tirodhanam means vanishing and he is Ishvara. So Ishvara is the fourth. So Ishvara basically denotes merging of Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra, and after that merging, the form out of the merging, first what should happen when something merges? Initially it will go into a state of formless state because there is three merging. From the formless state, or we can say that all the three distinction between the three will vanish. That means there is a person who is vanishing, who is invisible, and then there will be a person coming up. So it's like telling when we mix three things together, first all of them will vanish and then there will be something else coming. When we put sugar, milk powder and coffee powder in a glass of water, the distinction will completely vanish between all those and then we will get coffee. So first distinction vanishing, when these three merge and an invisible God is created, that is called Ishvara. He is the fourth leg. And when Tirodhanam, Ishvara does the action of Tirodhanam. So when these three merge and Ishvara vanish, then arises Sadashiva. Sadashiva, who is the mixture of Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra. So Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra, when they merge and initially they are invisible, then that is Ishvara, and when it becomes manifested, that is Sadashiva. Sadashivaye Namaha. Anugrahadaye Namaha. Sadashiva does Anugraham. Anugraham means he gives, bestows all boons. He helps us in the spiritual path. And that Sadashiva is the cot, the top of the cot. We said the four legs are Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra and Ishvara, and the top of the cot, we can say maybe the top portion of the cot is Sadashiva, and Devi is sitting on Sadashiva. So that is what is Devi's, a brief explanation of Devi. So Devi is that person who is controlling Sadashiva, who is the mix, who is Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra all together. So When the Shakta system speaks about Sadashiva, it is not Shiva, but it is the Trimurtis together. And Devi is the wife of Sadashiva. Devi is not only the wife of Sadashiva, but Devi is the one behind Shiva, Sadashiva. Shiva Shaktya Yukto Yadi Bhavati Shakta Prabhavitam. So that's the first shloka what we learned. Shankara himself says that Sadashiva doesn't have any power because Devi is the power behind Sadashiva. So this is one way of explaining Devi's form. And another way is that, I don't remember the shloka, the namam in Lalita Sahasranama, but Devi is formed of 64,000 or 64 crore ganas. And those are made out of 8 devatas. Each devata has 8,000 or 8 crore or 8 lakh, whatever is ganas. Therefore, 64 crore ganas. 64 crore or 64,000. Let's say 64 here. So, Devi is the controller of 64 ganas. Devi is the mix of 64 ganas. She is the person who will be present when all the 64 merge completely. And the 8 devatas are, we know the five. So Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra, Sadashiva. Then we have Muruga and Ganapati. So the 8 are Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra, then their consorts or their wives. So their wives are Lakshmi, Saraswati, Lakshmi and Parvati, and then Muruga and Ganapati. So these eight together become Devi. And there is also yet another beautiful way of explaining that Devi. Devi is the mix of the trinities and their wives. So Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva plus Saraswati, Lakshmi and Parvati is the Devi. So among the trinities, each of them have the devas as well as the devis. They have a particular guna. Like Brahma denotes rajas, rajogunam. Vishnu denotes sattvagunam. Shiva or Rudra denotes tamogunam. And similarly, their consorts as well. There is a yet beautiful aitihyam. I'm not very good at aitihyam, so I'll have to think a little bit to get my memory back. But all these trinities are related to each other. Each trinity has a sister associated with it. That is the reason why I think, I'm not very sure about who, but I think Shiva comes for the marriage of Vishnu and Lakshmi, or the other way. There is a temple where one of them helps in the marriage of the other. I think it's a Shiva temple wherein Vishnu comes to give his sister's hand, Parvati's hand, to Shiva. So Parvati is the person who denotes Sattva Gunam. Parvati is the sister of Vishnu. Parvati is the sister of Vishnu. And then so Brahma and Lakshmi, they both denote Rajogunam. So Lakshmi Devi is the sister of Brahma. And Saraswati denotes Tamogunam. Saraswati Devi is the sister of Shiva. So that is a different way of telling that when these three brothers and sisters, they get married, and they both merge. So Shiva Parvati, Brahma Saraswati and Vishnu Lakshmi, when they three merge into one guna, and all those three gunas merge, that then it becomes Devi. So it's a Vedantic way of telling as well that we learned that Brahman is guna atitam. Brahman is beyond gunam. He is that which is beyond the three gunas of sattva, rajas and tamas. So that which is beyond sattva, rajas, tamas is that state wherein these three are in equilibrium. They are not there. They are not there means they are in equilibrium. That means it is that state wherein they are in perfect equilibrium, perfect equanimity, we can say. So when these three trinities along with their sisters, they merge, they are in equilibrium, then there is no devata there. That is the state of Devi. It's also another beautiful way of explaining it. So this is in brief about Devi. So we can go on and on and on speak about Devi. So the Mahima of Devi, Mahima of any god, we can go on and on and on. So if you get chance to buy a book of Devi Mahatmyam or Devi Bhagavatam, then you can get it. Devi Mahatmyam is available at Ramakrishna Mission with English translation. So you can read it. That will speak about Devi's Mahima, Devi's birth, Devi's Mahima, why she came, who all she killed. Aitihyam you will come to know. So today we are going to learn the fifth shloka of Saundari Lahari. The fifth shloka is in Rag Todi, Hanumat Todi. It is a Melakarta Ragam. And this speaks about attraction. This speaks about desire. Desire in the form of lust or kamam. So Devi is the controller of kamam. Kama Varjitaye Namaha, Nishkamaye Namaha, Nirupaplavaye Namaha. So Nishkama, she is without any kamam. Kama Varjita, she is beyond, she is devoid of kamam. She is devoid of kamam, therefore she is also the controller of kamam. So Aitihyam, we have already discussed it, but Kameshwara. Kameshwara means the person, not Kameshwara, I should say. Manmata or the Kamadeva, the person who controls Kamam. He was given life. He was given rebirth by Devi. So the story goes that Parvati and Shiva had a fight, and thereby Shiva kind of killed or destroyed Parvati, and out of compassion he also said that she will be born again. So Parvati was born as Himavan, Himavati, she is called Himavan's daughter of Himavan, and Parvati entered into deep meditation. So she was meditating, and Shiva was also into meditation. At that time, Shiva and Parvati, merging of Shiva and Parvati was essential, because that would help the Devas to overcome the Asuras, the Devas to kill the Asuras. So, time went on and on. Only if Shiva and Parvati merge together, they'll get a son, and out of that son, Asuras will be killed and Devas will get liberation from the problems they were facing. But time went on and on. Shiva was in his own state of contemplation. Devi was, Parvati Devi was Himavati. She was doing meditation. So they couldn't, it couldn't, there was no, the merging or the get together or meeting of Shiva and Parvati was not in sight. So the Devas became afraid. Devas became worried. So they sent Kamadeva. Kamadeva or Manmatha was not at all interested, because he knew Shiva, that Shiva is so powerful, if he gets angry it will be bad. He got angry and killed, destroyed his own wife. So what would he do about another Deva, a normal Deva? But by the request of Indra and other Devatas, therefore he went. So he went and he used his arrows, bow arrows, his arrows made of flower, and use them on Shiva. Shiva is all-knowing person, so he could guess that it was Kamadeva. And since he was in deep contemplation, he opened his Netrikarna, or the third eye, that eye which is in the his forehead. So he opened that, the third eye, and that third eye is considered to be fire. So fire came out of it, and it destroyed Kamadeva, it destroyed Manmatha into ashes, burnt him into ashes. After this, his wife Rati Devi prayed to Shiva, and it is said that by Tripura Sundari, by Devi's worship, by Devi's bhajanam, Shiva became Shiva. Shiva agreed, and Kamadeva got birth again. So that Kamadeva got birth again only because of Rati Devi, his wife's devotion towards Tripura Sundari. So though some places it says that in some Puranas it speaks about Shiva as giving life to Manmatha again, but it is said that it was Rati Devi's devotion towards Tripura Sundari. Tripura Sundari was the power behind Shiva in giving birth again to Manmatha or Kamadeva. So that's also another reason it is said that Manmatha's body was destroyed, therefore he doesn't have any body. The only person who can see him by Devi's kadaksham, by Devi's boon, Rati Devi alone can see Manmatha. Manmatha has no form. That is the reason why desire or lust doesn't have any form. Even in the world, we can't apprehend, we can't see it. We may be able to see Krishna, we may be able to see Rama, we may be able to see Vishnu, we may be able to see even Tripura Sundari, but we cannot see Manmatha because he doesn't have a form. Since his form was destroyed, therefore Devi gave the boon that he can be seen only by Rati Devi. So that is one aitihyam about desire, about lust. But this shloka also speaks about Kamadeva. This shloka speaks about that Kamadeva was given life. Kamadeva was given power. Kamadeva was made to live again because of the devotion of Rati Devi towards Tripura Sundari. So the shloka goes like this. Haristvam Aradhya Pranata Jana Saubhagya Janani Pura Nari Bhutva Purari Pumapi Kshobamanayat Smaropi Tvam Natva Rati Nayana Lehayena Vapusha Muni Namapyantah Prabhavati Mohaya Mahata. So Harihe Tvam Aradhya. Hari or Vishnu worshipped you. For what? Pranata Jana Saubhagya Janani. So Saubhagya Janani, that Janani who gives birth to everybody, that Janani who gives birth to all the people in the world, that Devi Harihi Aradhya Pranata. Hari worshipped and prostrated that Devi. And why did he prostrate? Pura, before or in ancient time, Nari Bhutva. He became Nari. He became Mohini. So the Mohini avataram of Vishnu, when Devas and Asuras churned the ocean, the milk ocean, and nectar or amritam came out of it. At that time, Devas thought that Asuras would impart nectar and become immortal. Therefore, Vishnu took the form of Mohini, a beautiful woman, therefore deluded the Asuras, thereby giving Devas alone the Amritam. So Vishnu was able to take the form of Nari, take the form of a woman, because of worship and prostration towards Devi. It is Devi who was the power behind Vishnu being able to take the form of a woman. Not only that, Pura Ripum Abhi Shopam Shobam Anayat Api, sorry, Pura Ripum Api Shobam Anayat. Also Api, also Vishnu was able to destroy all cities. He was able to destroy all evil people, destroy whatever was required to destroy the people who were bad people, doing wrong dharma, not following dharma. And that was only because of Devi's power. And smaraha api tvam natva. Smaraha api, after remembering you, and natva, prostrating you, rati Devi was able to get. Le Rati Nayana Lehayena Vapusha. Rati Devi's eyes got Leham. Lehyam. Lehyam means it's the same like what we know in Ayurveda, which gives life. So Rati Devi's eyes, because of worship of Devi, got the special power. For what? For viewing Kamadeva. So not only that Kamadeva was again given life, but Rati Devi was given that extraordinary power, that power by which she could see Kamadeva, who cannot be seen by any other person. That is only because of Devi Shakti. And that Devi Shakti, Muninam Api Antah Prabhavati Hi Mohaya Mahatam. Mahatam Muninam Api, the greatest sages. Muni means Mananashilaha, a person who has controlled his mind. So Mahatam Muninam Api, even the greatest sages who have controlled their mind, Mohaya Prabhavati, you lead them into delusion by your power. So it can mean you, or a better reading interpretation is that Kamadeva was given life by you and Ratidevi was given the power to see Kamadeva, and Kamadeva was given strength. Kamadeva got strength to delude even the greatest of saints. So the greatest sages who have controlled, the greatest of all sages who have controlled their mind, they are deluded by Kamadeva because of the power of Devi. So this shloka speaks about the power, the delusive power, the passion, how passion controls people. So passion is controlled by Kamadeva, and that Kamadeva was given life by Devi. And passion also has male and female associated with it. With the help of Devi, Vishnu was able to take the form of a woman. That means if a person can take a form of a man can take a form of a woman, then that Devi will be able to give power to Kamadeva in order to delude any person in the world. So in the form of Mohini, Devi helped in deluding the Asuras. And in the form of Kamadeva, she helps in deluding the greatest of sages. That means all delusion, all desire, all moham, all lust, all kamam are because of Devi's power. So what is the use of speaking about Devi's power of kamam? Is it that we can also get deluded by Devi's power? The essence of what Shankara is telling here is that since Devi is the controller of all delusion, all kamam, therefore if we worship such a Devi, then we will overcome moham, we will overcome kamam. That we will be able to overcome that Kamadeva who deludes even the greatest of sages. The sage of Vishwamitra, Vishwamitra was one of the greatest sages of his time, like the contemporary of Vasishtha. Yet Vishwamitra himself was deluded by Menaka. It was because of Kamadeva, that Kamadeva who had the power of Devi behind him. So if Vishwamitra himself can be deluded, then what is the case of normal people like us? But if we want to get out of it, then we know this, where the source of all these delusive power is. We know that the source of all delusion, source of all lust is from Devi. That power which controls all this is the Devi. So if we surrender to such a Devi, then we'll be ensured, it will be ensured that we will not be deluded again. We will not have any kamam. We will not have any moham. This is the same as what Ishavasya Upanishad says, that Esmin sarvani bhutani atmeva bhut vijanatah tatra ko moha kah shokah ekatvam anupashyatah. For a person who has realized that everything is but the Atman, but Brahman alone, he ekatvam anupashyatah, he sees everything as one. Therefore there is no kah shokah, how can there be shokam, kah moha, how can there be moham. So moham and kamam will vanish when we realize that reality of Brahman, that reality of Nirguna Parabrahman, which is the same as Devi, and that Devi alone is present here. Whatever is present is that Devi alone. So if we worship Devi, so that is the only way we can get rid of moham and kama. So that means if for a person who worships Devi, he'll be led to that Advitiya Satyam. That Advitiya Satyam, that whatever exists here is Brahman alone. Sarvam Brahmayam, Sarvam Vishnuvayam, Sarvam Shivamayam, Sarvam Devimayam. Whatever way we say, it is the same thing. That there is only one entity here. It is Sachidanandam in nature. It is that power which controls everything. Therefore, if we surrender to it, if we merge into that power, then we'll be have Anandam alone. If we surrender to that power, then all obstacles will vanish. When all obstacles vanish, then we will be able to realize the underlying reality, that Advitiya Satyam, which is beyond the Dvaita Prapancham. When we realize that, then we will have Nandati, Nandati, Nandatyeva. Such a person will be ever rejoicing. He'll be ever happy, ever blissful. That bliss which is what we seek in the world. That is what is the goal of all beings. That can be achieved through Devi's bhajanam. Smaraha api and natva and aradhyam. Aradhyam is always remembering Devi. Always remembering Devi. Always offering all actions onto Devi. And remembering that Devi alone is present here. Whatever is present here is Devi only. The Nama Rupam is only Mithya. Whatever is present is that Devi alone. That Devi who is of the nature of Sachidanandam. That Devi who alone is the Satyam, Brahma Satyam. And when a person offers, when a person merges, when a person completely, fully concentrates or contemplates the Anusandhanam or Nididhyasanam on the Devi by worship, then Ishwar arpitam nichaya kritam chitta shodakam mukti sadakam. So Ishwar arpitam, when a person offers unto that Devi nichaya kritam without any fruit, and knowing that that Devi is the reality behind the dual world, that reality which is proclaimed as Brahman, which is proclaimed as Paramatma, which is proclaimed as Ishvara, then Chitta Shodakam, it will help in purification of the mind, and Mukti Sadakam, that Mukti which is the state of Anandam, that Mukti wherein there is no Shokam, there is no Moham, there is only Sukam, 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 Anandam, Anandam, Anandam. That will be achieved by Devi's worship. So if a person remembers this shloka, he'll be able to overcome Kamam and Moham. He'll be able to overcome Kamadeva. Kamadeva, when he sees that, if this is a Kamadeva, when he is about to strike, he about to shower his arrow on a person, he'll see, is this person a Devi Bhakta? If it is a Devi Bhakta, then he will run away. He will never come near such a person. So this doesn't mean that there will be no Moham at all. So in that case, Shiva got deluded by Mohini. And that is how Ayyappa came into existence. So how is that logical? How can we apprehend it? So it only means that though Kamam and Moham will be there, will not be affected by it. It will be like Kamam Moham that we have in dream. When we get up, we say, oh, I had two wives, two beautiful wives. And some people might say, oh, yesterday I dreamt that I had a date with Aishwarya Rai and I enjoyed the time very much. After getting up, the person is not affected by it. He'll say, oh, I know that it is, that Moham or that Kamam is not true because it is only a dream. Similarly, when a person realizes that Devi alone is present here and everything is only an illusion, then he'll be unaffected by the actions of in the world. Even as a person who knows that there is no water in desert, he'll not be affected by seeing water or running behind water, finally getting dejected that there is no water. Yet, in the state of dejection, in the state of worldly dejection, seeing in the world externally being dejected, internally he'll be smiling, internally he'll be laughing that at his own blunder. He'll be laughing that, oh, What is this? There is no Lokam. Whatever is there is only Brahman. Whatever is there only Devi. I see only Devi, that Tripurasundari Devi who alone is present here. She alone is present here. Then what is this Dvaitam? It is only a play. It is only a Leela. Lokavattu tat Leela Kaivalyam. Speaking about Loka, Brahma Sutra says that Lokavattu tat Leela Kaivalyam. Lokam is Mithya, is unreal. But in that case, Shruti says that Tadaikshata Ekoham Bahusyam. She says that reality or Brahman thought and said, had the desire, let me multiply. So how can we, how doesn't this contradict each other? How doesn't it contradict the fact that the world is an illusion? So anticipating it, Brahma Sutra says that there can be only one explanation. The world is only a play. So the world is unreal. But if you think you need an explanation, if you think you want an explanation, then For a devotee, the world is the play of Ishvara, Ishvara's Leela. The Leela of Ishvara, the play of Ishvara, the divine play of Ishvara, the divine play of that Ishvara who alone is there, that play which is like a dream world, that play which doesn't even exist, the play doesn't exist, the world doesn't exist, and I don't exist, Devi doesn't exist, whatever exists is only one Brahman, one Devi alone, there is no duality here. But if duality is seen, it is only her play. Since it is her play, she can control it. And O Devi, I am a small child falling at your feet, sleeping in your lap, and I have nowhere to go. You have to guide me. So the world is your play. Therefore, guide me in the right way. Guide me from ajnanam. Asatoma sadgamaya. So guide me from asat to sat. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya. Guide me from tamas, andhakaram, to jnanam. Mrityurma amritam gamaya. Lead me from the mrityu sagaram, mrityu sansara sagaram, to the state of moksha. So that is what Shankara earlier said, that janma jaladau nimagnanam damstra muralipu varahasya bhavati. So O Devi, the world is only your play, you are controlling everything, therefore make sure that I don't get any kamam and moham. Even if I get kamam and moham, let those be directed towards you. Let those be with the knowledge that everything is only an illusion of namarupam in Devi. In such a case, I will slowly realize my own nature of Brahman and I will have anandam. Let me have the anandam by seeing your form, contemplating on your form, devoting, being devoted to you, being faithful to you, and having prostrated you, prostrating you, worshipping you, contemplating you. So that's the essence of this shloka. We'll see the next shloka in the next day. Hari Om.